In the spring of Elizabeth Middleton Bonner's 38th year, when she believed herself to be settled, secure, and well beyond adventure, Sela Voyager came to paradise. It was the screaming of the osprey that brought the women face to face, just past dawn on a Sunday morning. Elizabeth and her stepdaughter Hannah were skirting the marsh at the far end of Half Moon Lake when the birds started up, making so much noise, chasing each other in great diving swoops, that the two of them stopped right there to watch. Weary as she was, Elizabeth was glad of the excuse to rest. On the edge of New York's endless forests, the winter gave way reluctantly to warm weather, but when the osprey came back to the lake, it was a certainty that the last of the ice would soon be gone. And there were other signs as well, all around them. A red-winged blackbird perched on a cattail, wood frogs hidden among the rushes, their queer duck-clack call echoing over the water, reeds flushed with new green. Elizabeth was looking over the lake and taking comfort in what the day had to offer when Hannah caught sight of a clutch of small white flowers in first blossom. Bloodroot gave up a deep scarlet dye, and it was highly prized. Elizabeth said, "Can't it wait?" and knew it could not. Hannah simply could not walk away from such a useful growing thing. That she had gone a night without rest was immaterial. She could have run up the mountain and trotted back down again without stopping, or needing to. With an apologetic look, Hannah pulled a small spade from her basket and knelt down to lift the plant. And froze, as still and attentive as a deer who comes upon a hunter in an unexpected place. Almost directly before her was a pair of shoes, sitting atop a low oak stump in the early morning sun, as if put there to dry after a walk through the bush. Roughly cobbled and worn down to almost nothing with scratched blue buckles, Elizabeth had never seen such shoes on anybody in paradise. A stranger on the mountain, then, and not far off. The thing to do would be to walk on. It was foolish to even consider confronting a stranger. A trespasser, Elizabeth reminded herself, on the mountain, no matter how curious the footwear such a person might wear. Not with the solemn charge entrusted to her this morning. Not as weary as she was. The men would see to it. With the osprey still screeching and wheeling over the lake, Elizabeth was staring at the shoes and arguing silently with herself when Hannah took things into her own hands and pushed the hobble bushes aside. In a little hollow under an outcropping of stone, a woman lay curled into a ball. Her skin was darker and richer in color than the earth she had slept on. Under a homespun jacket, her belly was round and taut, yet another child getting ready to fight its way into the world. The vague curiosity that had come to Elizabeth at the sight of the blue buckles was replaced immediately with dread as the woman pulled away from them, her face blank with fear. It was more than 8 years since Elizabeth had last encountered an escaped slave, but she knew with complete certainty that this young woman had run away from someone who considered her to be property. She said, "You needn't fear us. Have you lost your way?" For a moment she didn't move at all, and then she scrambled up into a sitting position, looking from Hannah to Elizabeth and back again. Under a high forehead, her eyes were luminous with fever, and a tripling pulse beat at the hollow of her throat, as frantic as a bird's. "I am Elizabeth Bonner. This is my stepdaughter, Hannah." Some of the fear left the woman's face. Her mouth worked without sound, as if language were a burden she had left somewhere on the trail behind her. When her voice finally came to her, it was unusually deep and hoarse.
"The schoolteacher. Nathaniel Bonner's wife."
She stifled a cough against the back of her hand. "Yes," said Elizabeth. "Do you know my husband?"